world, and welcome to Search for Calling. My name is Ken Payne, the number one process executive recruiter in the world, along with my co-host, Enid VN, the number one life energy clearing practitioner in the world. We're here to promote my coaching and recruiting software, Wheeltail Solutions, today, which provides you, the listener or viewer, a mirror effect for surfacing unwanted patterns, which can be used to scale employment opportunities, and more importantly, for setting up life energy clearing sessions with Enid. Our guests tonight are Steve Ory and Robert Troop, both corporate executives who are kindred spirits in business, and here today to share their experiences and help us promote the purpose. Now, the purpose of Search for Calling is to help you, the listener, surface your calling and apply your spiritual perceptions and abilities in business. Call-in numbers for Canada and the United States of America are 888-228-4494, or worldwide 877-489-6350. So, how you doing, Enid?
I'm doing good. Roasting here in San Diego.
Yeah, I'm in Tell City, Indiana. Steve, where are you at?
I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Grand Rapids. Robert, where are you at?
Iowa, Michigan.
What
all
part of Michigan?
Across the state. Iowa.
Oh, okay.
All the way across the state from Steve.
I'd like to start off the show with a little bit about my background, how I got to meet my two guests. I had done your classic executive recruiting, started in 1991 with Fortune Franchise, became the number one recruiter with that, at that time was the second largest franchise in the world. Became the number one recruiter with them in my third year, and that was such a long time ago. At which point I had the opportunity to meet with Enid VN. And when I met Enid, I was stirring around in some unwanted patterns myself and still looking for my calling. So after meeting Enid, I fell in love with her life energy clearing process called Dynamism. And that's D-Y-N-A-M-I-S-M. You can access that, her information at dynamism.com. .org. At which point, I think it was about 5 years ago, I had an assistant who said that Steve was looking for a executive to bring on as a logistics manager, and the assistant knew that my processes would be more powerful given that we were going to be doing some executive coaching. So I'd set up a schedule with Steve. I believe that was on a Saturday, wasn't it, Steve?
Yes, I believe you're right.
Yeah. So I gave you a call up and said, hey, man, you got about an hour. And how long did that session turn into?
Probably about 3 to 4 hours, I think.
Yeah. At any time during that process, did you want to hang up?
No, not at all. In fact, it went on that long because I was captivated by the approach that you're taking.
Yeah. So tell our audience a little bit about your experience with the executive search field, the headhunters, the personnel consulting field.
Well, the main thing that I've experienced in the past using recruiters is that most recruiters have a tendency to take anybody that's even close to filling a potential need and throwing the information at you to give you an opportunity to then have to screen out and find the appropriate people. Whereas the approach that that you've taken with your program, the candidates come to me pre-screened, and that you have a much higher level of confidence in the candidates that you've sent me, that they are a better potential fit.
Oh, cool. Yeah, during that process, doing the Wheeltail Solutions profile. We got to a point where I was asking you to draw circles that represented your life energy in the space that you worked at. Remember that?
Yes.
And then went through a couple of other processes. We got to cross-referencing Enid VN's scales of productive energy and acceptance. You recall that?
Yes.
So mathematically, we were able to scale your life energy and its harmony with that particular condition, and it popped out at pain. Do you recall that?
Yes, I sure do.
And what was your response?
I was pretty stunned that that you're able to, with your tools, be able to see through and see that in what you were in the process you were going through.
Yeah. So I had a lot of business with you after that.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. At which point, I think it was about what, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You found yourself getting written up in a article, a publication, for doing a significant I think it's called Herculean. Enid, help me with the word. It's like Hercules.
Herculean. Yeah.
Yeah, you did this wonderful thing, and next thing you know, you ended up, like so many other executives, you're kind of tossed to the side and say, well, thanks a lot.
Right.
If you would kind of share some of the experiences of that day whenever you said, okay, do I want to go out and see Enid or not? Knowing that you had sent out Ray, to one of your other executives, out to see Enid. Kind of go over that, if you would, please.
Okay, sure. Actually, if I were to back up a step there, the article that was written about the performance of a plant at the time that I was happy to be a part of. That after about 6 months of the year, about June of the year, we had already made a full year's annual plant profit. The plant was on fire in every way in terms of the excitement of the turnaround that we had had in that plant, and a lot of it had to do with having the right caliber people there in that plant helping us to run it. As time went on, I had a particular person who was working for me that was going through some problems at the time with a divorce and the guilt that he was feeling through that whole process. And he was struggling and wasn't very productive during that time. And this particular fellow, I was trying to figure out, because he was one of the top-notch executives that I had working for me. I was trying to find a way of getting him back in the game again, getting him back focused on the plan again. And I called Ken, and we talked a bit about it, and Ken recommended that I send him out to see Enid. And the guy that came back to me after being with Enid for a week was a completely different guy than the guy that I sent to Enid. And the guy was... He was back. He was a guy that I remember from before, and all the concerns that he had with the divorce and all the other issues he's having in his personal life were gone, and he was back to being a highly productive individual again. When I saw that, and as Ken had pointed out, when I got to a point that that things were changing in my life and my career, and I had seen what it had done to one of the fellows that worked for me. Even though it was a difficult decision at first to make, it was really kind of an easy decision to make, to go out and visit with Enid and myself. And so that's what led me to go see her.
Yeah, I recall.
That's pretty great.
Well, you'd had a couple of probations, and he was on some sort of therapy, medicine, all kinds of stuff, and that didn't work, did it?
No, it didn't. Not a bit. And quite honestly, after the week-long session that he had with Enid, he came back like the guy that I had remembered from the good old days before, and he was right back at it again, and productive and everything else. So it was a really rewarding experience.
Yeah, Enid, you recall?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty unstable at that time, wasn't he?
Well, he wasn't so much unstable as wounded. You know?
Yeah, wounds will definitely put you in overwhelm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I recall whenever he called me up, and actually, what was it? Steve, was it his fiance had called you up and said, "What did you do to this guy? I don't even recognize his voice," because you didn't even know the old. Kind of go expound on that.
Yeah, actually, when he had come back from his session with Enid, the comment that I got back from his girlfriend, his fiance at the time, was just like you had said, was what happened to the guy I used to know? Where is he? You know, it the old guy we remember from before is back and present, and so she was pretty ecstatic about it. In fact, I believe that she had gone through and done some clearing activities after that herself, after seeing the impact it had on her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Enid, how do you explain that? His voice was different.
Well,
his physical appearance.
I don't really try to explain that. Tell you the truth. I mean, it's just he was feeling better. He was feeling more like himself, and therefore he sounded more like himself.
Yeah, she didn't know the old Ray, Steve. She was used to the guy that had the gravel in his voice and the wrinkles in his forehead. So he came back, and she didn't even hardly... Well, she could connect to him a lot easier, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So I recall the... I don't know, it was maybe about... Well, it was about a year later. You got a bit of a shock, and I said, "Hey, that's it's good for Ray, it's good for you."
Right.
If you would share some of your experiences about that.
Yeah, actually, I went out and spent a week myself with Enid, and had gone through the process, and probably one of the best ways of describing the impact it had is the following week I had a job interview that lasted maybe 15 minutes. There wasn't a lot that was said during that 15 minutes, but there was an immediate bond, if you will, between myself and the fellow that I was interviewing with, and the result was that I was hired and put in charge of one of his strongest running operations, and so it was a very enlightening experience having gone through that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember getting up with the currently he's the vice president of world, our North American operations was one of the largest Tier 1 automotive firms in the world.
Yes,
and I remember calling him and saying, "Hey, before you meet Steve, I want to make sure he gets a chance to go out and see Enid and perform some life energy executive coaching." Of course, he didn't know exactly what I was talking about, but after you interviewed with him, he goes, "Man, this guy's shining like a Christmas tree."
Yeah, that would describe it pretty well.
Enid, if you could go over some of the basics of your process and removing barriers for spiritual rapport, that might be helpful.
Okay, I'll give it a go. Basically, everything I do is based on the idea that we're capable of solving our own problems. So what I do is I just guide the person into a position where he can look at his own problems without being judged. And at the bottom of everything I do is of course, the idea that life is basically a spiritual process. It's not possible to divorce it, which so many people try to do. When you do things that you don't feel good about and you have problems that you can't resolve, then and you try and resolve them and you get no result, it gets pretty discouraging. So I try and basically let the person know that there's a lot more to life than what we just see on the surface. And this, of course, helps the person to actually connect with other people because he starts to see them also as having very similar problems to his own. Surprising how much that helps.
Yeah, it's so simple. It's it may elude me. how come it's not widely available?
Well, it's as available as I can make it with my limited time for teaching and a practitioner.
Correct. Well, I'll share you with you one of my experiences. I was in the Navy for 10 years as a hospital corpsman trained to be a ship's doc on and do the field corps doc with the Marines. And so I've been around medicine for years. And by the time I met you, Enid, I was in the process of going through a divorce, losing my job. I think I'd read just about every self-help book I get my hands on. I was a director of religious education. I sought therapy. Basically, I was a mess. Started drinking, all types of stuff, trying to just numb it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had an ulcer. I had asthma. And coming out of the first session with you, it's just remarkable that the asthma went away. The ulcer went away. My life started taking a very balanced and clear, powerful, rejuvenating leap into the future I'm in right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing stuff.
Yeah, I know. And it is, that's very difficult to describe. And plus, I do want to say, you know, every person's experience is different. Because each person has his own difficulties, his own experience. I mean, obviously, what I experience is likely to be very different from what you experience. Because we're not the same person. And I know that sounds really simplified, and it probably is. But the point is that every person's experience is going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, I recall. Yeah, what ended up happening, Steve, is that another recruiter had, recruiters are after you guys all the time. Robert, how many recruiters do you think have called you in your, 25 plus years?
Oh, it's countless thousands.
Really?
Yeah, Steve, how many calls do you think you've, conversations or even calls you don't even return from recruiters in your 25 plus years?
Well, it's probably almost even simpler to think about it in terms of how many calls a week that you typically get. I've gotten as many as three a week and as few as maybe one a week throughout the 25 years or so of working.
Well, so you guys are visionary type people who have, like a price on your head, like a bounty hunters are constantly trying to move you into different positions because they collect a pretty decent fee, usually 25 to 35% of your salary, so highly sought after folks. I remember a recruiter pulled you out of the place that filed bankruptcy and put you in your current place of employment, at which point you called me up and you said, listen, I'm really impressed with what Enid has put together as it pertains to executive coaching using the dynamism, life energy, clearing type of programs. Seen what it's done with Ray, seen what it's done with me, and goodness, could you go out and find me a couple more executives that I can bring through the same process with your software? And that's when I went out and started searching for, that's how I came across Robert, actually, one of my other recruiters who's a full-time person here is what we call ourselves. We're a little bit different than recruiters. His name's Jay Moore. Jay called Robert one day, and Robert, you remember that experience?
Absolutely. Every minute of it.
So right off the bat, what did you could you tell the difference between Jay and my firm and the other recruiters, and kind of take it from there?
Certainly. When Jay had called me, when we had first talked, there was an immediate rapport. We hit at a level that was not normal for any recruiting system or recruiting firm, and that he wasn't even comparative to another recruiter. We started digging into some of the deeper aspects and digging into the affinities that we both had about people, production processes, the world, the universe, systems in general. And he had brought me into a slight touch on dynamism at the time, and it piqued my interest, and a 20-minute phone call turned into almost 4 hours. And that's when he said that later on I was going to be contacted by UCAN.
Yeah, I remember the first time I talked to you. You were on your way to another interview. You had two or three other recruiters chasing you down. You were going over your background as it pertained to some of the places that you'd worked at. And I said, well, do you see any of these patterns in this in your life as it pertains to going from one job to another? And I recall
I remember that conversation very well.
I remember that. I think it was later you were telling your wife after you hung up the phone. I said, you know, she was going something like, "Who is that guy? It sounds like he's kind of different than the average person, and maybe kind of out there." You know, talking about the universe and spirituality. And what did you say?
I told her from her aspect, yeah, but from my aspect, he was dead on. I remember that distinctly because it was such a turning point for me. Little brief history for anyone who may be listening in is that I had done 20 years in the Navy, had come out of the Navy, had worked for several large automotive manufacturers, had been increasingly successful most of my life. The prior two jobs to this, for the lack of a better term, the leaderships were walking through life with their eyes wide closed. Out there being the stellar performer, and all of a sudden you just get cut because you kind of rock the boat a little too much. And in the aspect of my employment, being a quality manager, that's what I was supposed to do. And it makes you really sit back on your heels and think, is it me or is it somebody else? And had been going to some interviews, had been real sensitive towards the outside world and everybody else, and hadn't really looked inside as to what kind of garbage I was carrying, what kind of load of bricks was I hauling around with me. And then when I talked to you, we got talking about dynamism. We got talking about my inner spirituality and my inner soul. And that led me down the path where I'm currently at.
It was a turning point in your life. I recall it was pretty stressful because it's being pulled in various directions, various recruiters, and affecting your own personal life. Your wife was also, I think you guys were going through, should buy the house, sell the house, all kinds of relocation issues. It turned into a situation where, I thought it was, actually you said it would be best, given the option, find another employment first or go out and see Enid. And I'd even told you that Steve had had corporate training budget set aside for people in the past. And you said, no, I don't want to do that. I want to pay for this myself. Whether I get the opening or, the position, the employment offer or not, what's more important to me right now is the spiritual rapport with my family. And I want to make sure that, so you, unlike most people, you had the courage to go out there and turn down the possible sponsorship. It was just a phenomenal choice. But anyway, go ahead and share with the audience a little bit about your experience going out and seeing Enid.
Well, fair was fair. I hadn't had work in a couple months, had turned down a couple job offers because of the the management team that was entrenched was unable to see beyond the end of their noses, so that wasn't something I wanted to be associated with, and that's when we had talked, and indeed you were right. So I scraped together the money and flew out, and I saw Enid, and my God, it was a moving experience. Couldn't and still can't thank the lady enough. I'm forever in debt to Enid, both at a spiritual level and beyond. I went out there, sat down with Enid. I started understanding in the background and history of my life that I had developed a lot of soul scars that, and they were true wounds. The death of my father, the issues I had going on with my mother-in-law at the time, who had some surgery done to her brain. I think they put one in. No, not really, but my wife had been down there taking care of her, so I hadn't seen her in about 4 months. There was just a lot of things going on. And when I went out to California, I went in there with an open mind. When I came off the plane, when I came home, you couldn't pry the smile off my face. It wasn't, and for anybody that's listening in, it wasn't psychiatry, it wasn't therapy, it was more than that. You dig deep. And you bring things up, and you bring them to resolution. You get them out, and you get them in the open, and you start getting rid of those scars that you've got in your system. And it'd been the first time in over 28 years I'd slept more than 4 hours. My eyesight suddenly got better. My upset stomach went away. So it had manifested itself in the physical side. But when I got back, the first comment out of my wife was, we'd been driving away from the airport and been driving for about 15 minutes, and she hadn't said a word, not one single word. She told me, she says, pull over, and I said, why, what's going on? And she says, we need to go back to the airport and get my husband. She says, I don't know who this man is sitting next to me. This is the guy that I knew back in the 1970s. So it was, for her and for my whole family, it was life-altering. And since then, my mom and my aunt, my cousins, have all made the same comment, that they don't know who I am now, but they truly love who I am. And the honesty and the straightforwardness and all the games and game spheres that people have out there, just they don't impact me anymore. They don't bother me. It's water I ducked back. You see right through it, and you move on. So it's true.
Yeah, it's highly
amazing.
Enlightening. Wow.
Actually,
it rocks.
You know, I hadn't heard this before, and it is so nice to know that what I did has been lasting. You know?
It is such a long-term impact, and impacts so many other lives. That it is absolutely tremendous. People just can't understand it. Now I hear things like ingenious and magnificent. I'm able to see things that other people don't see. And it pops right out. So, I mean, like I said, I can't thank you enough.
Keep it business.
You're more than welcome.
Just say, hey, you know, met Ken and then met Enid. And
well, now the next thing is to get my wife to come out.
Because
it's rubbed off on her.
What I'd like to do is go ahead and introduce you to another person here. He just came in. He's Jay Moore. Robert and Steve and Enid, you know Jay.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Jay. How you doing today?
Hey, how you doing, man? I was really touched by what you were saying.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's not like grabbing a shadow, but it'll work.
Yeah, I get that, and also I kind of agree with what you were saying about the indebtedness to Enid. I don't think I could ever repay her for anything she's ever done for me. It's priceless.
Thank you.
Oh, I love you, sweetheart.
Well, thank you.
Well, Jane, go ahead and kind of explain your life before Enid and
boy,
and what's going on these days?
Right. Oh, before Enid, well, before I met you, I was going to college and went into a organization. And right out of college, of course, I graduated late. I had two kids and one on the way type of thing. And went back to school because I knew that was something I needed to do. Got my degree, came out, worked for a corporation at their corporate headquarters. In a matter of 3 months, I eliminated my own job. Basically, came up with a solution, and because of the efficiency, since I was the last one in, I was the first one gone. Then I went into another organization, increased their sales by over 36% in a matter of a year and a half, and built a new branch. Again, being a very proactive individual, I did it to myself again. And I kind of agree with you, Robert, you know, where you say, is it me or is it them? You know, I kept doing everything that I thought was right and tried to contribute in any way that I could, and it seemed that I kept stabbing my own self in the back somehow. So I was pretty down and out at that point in time, and actually that was the only first time in my life I'd ever been fired. I'd never been fired before, and I had a hard time even gripping with that. Then I came to work with Ken, and I met Ken, and for some reason I was working at a convenience store at night. I took a job that I'd had back when I was completing my degree, and this is what's so funny about it. I come over to meet Ken one day. And after he asked me to come over, and I looked at him, and within about 15 seconds, I just knew there was something different about this guy. I come to find out, of course, somewhat of an enlightenment aspect to him, and ask him where he'd been all my whole life, because I've been looking for somebody who had this view. And we went through some intensive coaching aspects, come to find, you know, like Robert was talking about, where you, the game spheres, things like this, and starting to notice those as things where I thought were normal, and this is what everybody did, and everybody kind of went into a veil of amnesia and ignorance and just kind of a denial that this is what everybody does, until I started to see things in myself, which allowed me to, of course, see things in others. I was going through a divorce at the time, but right before that, during that time frame, I went out to see Enid and David, and David is the one that, who's Enid's husband, David Womack, and he's actually my personal case. What do you call that?
Your personal practitioner.
My personal practitioner. Thank you, Enid.
Yeah.
And boy, did I realize how I had tainted my view of the world based on my experiences and my traumas and all my case, as that seems to be the new buzzword of the universe out here. And it was just a mind-blowing experience to come back to your authentic self, to who you really are. And not because you have integrity and you're so honest with yourself at this point after you've received a couple of sessions, that the integrity comes out and you don't have to consider what other people think because your words are true. And that's priceless when it comes to communication, I think. But it totally changed my life, and I don't think I can't imagine where I would be without it.
That's awesome, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
Well, certainly you're welcome.
Well, guys, we got a lot of mutual experiences, and my hat goes off to Enid. Robert, Steve, you know you guys are aces in my book. The purpose of my show, Search for Calling, is to be able to share these experiences with the intention of getting corporate executives, people who are wanting to get off the roller coaster rides, to know that there is an option out there, that there are recruiters who are executive coaches and recruiters with this mirror effect software, that you can actually look mathematically and scale close to where you're at now, where you've been before, and where you want to go. And it correlates over to Enid's works. And if a person really looks at the information, it gives them a really crisp view of where they can go. I had to share this experience with you. I'd brought on another person here. And again, this type of executive coaching, this type of life energy clearing, this is designed for the upper crust, people that have the heart to empower others and empower themselves and have the courage to, so to speak, look in the mirror. This one person here, he's starting to come on board, but he's got some case and some baggage, and I'm trying to sponsor him out to seeing it. Well, you know, at that time, he had to wear sunglasses. He had a cyst behind his eye. And, you know, he's constantly getting out the napkin. And, you know, and over about a period of 6 months, he starts to purge, and he doesn't have to wear the sunglasses anymore, simply from the coaching that I've been providing him. Then he got up the courage to go out and see Enid. And the individual, when he came back, he goes, I can't explain it to you. See, I was in Vietnam, and I saw some things I don't like to, you know, think about, and they were way deep down inside, and I couldn't stand up straight. You know, I just couldn't stand up straight. And then Andy goes, oh, well, that's this. Like a simple recipe pulled out of a cookbook. The next thing I know, I feel like there's 100 blackbirds being pulled out of my stomach, and then I stand up, and I can stand up straight. And, hey, another thing, Ken, I went to the optometrist, and that cyst is gone. So, you know, Enid, your first book, The Healing Spirit, goes over your philosophy, and it's such a great title. It's a great title. How many people do you think you've done clearing on?
Oh, a lot over the years. I mean, thousands probably.
Now, you've had the opportunity to be working with some pretty top-notch people on the planet here, and they've coined you the millionaire maker.
Yes, they have. It's a little embarrassing, but they have.
Well, I understand, you know.
Because that isn't my primary purpose. You know, I mean, I love it when my clients do well and make a lot of money and have a very successful life, of course. But that's not what I'm working for.
I understand.
Yeah. But
well, you've
for
had,
the individual, it's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. So after you wrote The Healing Spirit, your second book, what was that, Scars on the Soul?
Scars on the Soul, mm-hmm.
Which is a very powerful work on the subject we're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, it lays out some of the most esoteric, mystical, therapeutic medicine, you know, the things that we all as mankind have been trying to crack. When I read that book, I go, here it is. It is a simple, distilled, easily grasped, precise recipe. It's like, wow. How'd you do that?
Well, that's, yeah, that's the idea, you see. I mean, I am a philosopher. I don't think philosophy should sit in dusty bookshelves and never get used. philosophy should be useful or what's it worth. To me, nothing.
Yeah. But a philosopher who is a healer that deals with executives and all walks of life, and I myself, you know, I can attest. I mean, I was on the verge of filing bankruptcy, and, you know, I know that one of your favorite words is, I want to hear you say it because I love your accent, prosperity.
Is a state of mind. It's a state of mind. It's like that terrible story I like to tell so much of the king that became very ill and called all his local healers in, and they were losing hope. And finally the last one said, you know, if you wear the shirt of a happy man, you will get well. So he sent out all of these people across the land. And one by one, they came trickling back, and they hadn't found a happy man. They couldn't find a happy man in the land of this king. So finally, the last one came back and straggles into the throne room, and the king says, well, did you find one? And then the last fellow says, yes, I did. And the king says, wait, yeah? Well, where's his shirt? He says, Your Majesty, he didn't have a shirt.
Which goes back to who you were saying, that it's a little bit embarrassing to be coined the millionaire maker when indeed that's really not the purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's funny, you know. It's funny in a way. Ironic.
Yeah.
But hey, health is a lot more than just physical health.
Sure.
You know, there's emotional health, there's financial health. There's all kinds of different ways of looking at health.
So your third book, I believe that was Mood Swings or
yeah.
Soulmates?
The third was Mood Swings.
Yeah, that there is an awesome piece of work because it is such a useful, pragmatic, bottom-line approach to getting out of relationships that are self-sabotaging.
Now, that makes it sound as if I'm advocating, you know, run away from any problems, but it's not. All I can say is read it, and you'll see.
Yeah. Well, you start to pick up the telltale signs in this book. You are able to more easily detect
you're able to choose
people that you're working
better.
With. Yeah.
That's part of the point, I mean. Nobody wants to work with somebody who's basically no fun. You know,
no what?
There's basically no fun.
Oh, no
Everyone
fun,
wants,
right.
Yeah. I mean, when I say no fun, I mean core production. Well, that's no fun.
Yeah.
I'm
Steve.
Looking at,
yes.
Tell me about what it's like in terms of the word fun when you're working with Robert.
Actually, he brings that energy to the business that's unique, and it's always a pleasure to be working with Robert. And virtually everything he looks at, he brings a high level of energy and enthusiasm and excitement to the process. And he's one of these teaching kind of individuals as well. He's not one of the guys that rolls up his sleeves and just goes in and does it. He's one of those guys that. That brings everybody along with them to the journey, and so he makes it fun and exciting.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I was just talking about. You know, if you feel strong inside and you feel healthy inside, you know, I mean, I'm talking about as a person, then life's a lot more fun. Work's a lot more fun. Everything flows better. And that's kind of a large point of what I do, is I want people to have a better life. Well, to me that means I want them to have more fun.
Steve, you're such a great guy, I tell you. To go on into the history of the experiences that you've had using the Wheeltail Solutions software, recruiting, getting these folks on board, on the bus, had the opportunity to have a very robust personality. The individual, kind of like the other individual, was going through some scars on the soul. The individual had stubbed their toe in a couple places they shouldn't have stubbed their toe at. And you gave me a call and you said, hey, I want you to see what you can do to help this person. Where I can't tell you how many other executives would have just cast them to the side immediately without any question. So at that time, I had a wonderful protege of Enid's named Michael Manning on staff here in Tell City. So we were close to Michigan and had the opportunity to do some processes over the phone to get prepared. Michael and I went up to your plant, and he put us up in a nearby hotel. And I think we spent about, what, 3 or 4 days working with individual.
Yeah.
And even Robert came in, and we were doing spiritual rapport processes for retention, doing everything we possibly could.
Yes, absolutely. It was 3 days to be exact.
Yeah, that's amazing. I know that, for the average individual, it may not work. In this case, it didn't work. Because Enid, I think you indicated it has to be up to the individual. Maybe you didn't say that, but if you can expand on that, I personally believe it's not just for everyone.
Well, for everyone that reaches for it, really. I mean, obviously, I'm looking to work with people who are honest seekers of truth, because it's more fun, frankly. So if the person, you can't just kind of spoon feed it to a person, they have to make their own choices, because that, to do otherwise goes against everything that I believe in, which is that the individual responsibility is paramount.
Oh yeah, without that. But to kind of sum up that experience, what I gathered from that was that Steve called me up and goes, you know what? I guess we've all played victim in our life one time or another. As far as saving corporate dollars, at least we did, we know that we did the best we could, and the legalities of dismissal and things of that nature really cleared it up real fast, didn't it, Steve?
Yeah, it sure did. As a matter of fact, the decision to get you guys involved was a pretty easy decision. This was a person I had worked with for quite a bit in my career. It would be difficult to replace a person with the strength and caliber that this person brought to the company. But the person was going through a lot of problems at the time. So you balance the cost of trying to salvage that person versus the cost of having to replace a person like that, and then not knowing what you're going to get when you do replace a person like that. It makes the decision pretty easy when you get down to it, as to which way you ought to go. I mean, it's not something you need to have a lot of clarity or purpose to determine which is the appropriate way to go. And like you said, unfortunately, even though the person went through the motions, through the process, the person really didn't grasp the situation, and we were left with the unpleasant task of having to do something different. And that doing something different meant that we had to replace her.
Steve, most executives I deal with, it wouldn't even enter their mind. They would just go, give me another one, just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a tendency, maybe in my career, that I have a tendency, especially when you know what these people are capable of doing and what they've done for you in the past, that when you see that they encounter something that's that kind of distracts them, if you will, that the quicker you can get them back on track, the better off we all are. And that's really the better way to go.
Totally understand.
Of course it's the better way to go when you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always doable.
Yeah, and
so you're
unfortunate with this individual, but after we got to the point of making the decision that we had to do something different and had to let her go, she wound up rebounding into a position. I think she learned from what all that was about. I think it opened her eyes, and then she realized what she had done, and she's doing very well today in her new life, you know, new career.
Yeah, well, sometimes we need a wake-up call, right?
Yeah.
Well, your fourth book, Soulmates, How to Find Them and How to Keep Them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, most people don't have any difficulty finding soulmates. Keeping them is an issue.
Yeah, I can see that. So a lot of people, they have the belief system that they may only have one soulmate.
Yes. Now, the potential soulmates, I mean, there are so many of them. And you can have somebody who's a soulmate who's not necessarily a sexual partner.
Now, Robert, I know how you feel about Steve. And Ina didn't mean to pop your bubble there, Robert.
No, she didn't. Well, I fully understand what Eden's talking about. It's the rest of the world I'm worried about. Not at all.
Well, how to find them and how to keep them.
Yeah.
Kind of go over some of the techniques or the philosophy as it pertains to how to find and keep.
Well, first of all, most people make their selections based on immediate attraction, which there's nothing wrong with that. But that once you have that immediate attraction, that's when you should start looking more closely to see if this person is truly compatible with you. For example, a person whose life energy is way stronger than yours is going to be very difficult to live with. And one needs to know that going into a relationship. Because if you don't, it can be very distressing down the road. Does that make sense?
Certainly
it
does.
Yeah, and so people choose their, what they think is their only soulmate, and now they're really stuck, aren't they?
Ouch.
Yeah. So it's important to have some guidelines, some way of judging. And I'm not saying that in a cruel sense. But
you know, mean judgmental.
Knowing who you need to know who you're dealing with.
Well, I remember in one of my courses, it said nine inherent tendencies of survival. I think the fourth one is to measure, and then they said that the inability to infer is a insanity. So when you say judge, measure, infer. So, some of the techniques that your book, Soulmates, goes over is more precise, more exact.
Well, I've certainly tried to make it so. The idea is to give people a yardstick to use. And they're not difficult yardsticks. I mean, this is, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand this stuff.
You want me to pick on you again, Robert?
No, it's not picking. It's just allowing me to play.
Well, you used to be a rocket scientist in a past life, I think.
No, not really.
No, trust me, he was.
Well, anyway, looking at, you know, Steve, when I remember one of the coaching sessions we had when on a current search that we were conducting using the Wiltel Solutions profiling, getting you and the other individual on the phone and going over some of the strengths and the weaknesses and getting that level of transparency that candidates and clients who are looking for each other, trying to find kindred spirits, tired of the ups and downs. One of the things that I remember you said your weakness was that you don't know when to give up on people. You recall that?
Yeah, sure do.
I also remember Enid saying that, gosh, you know, Steve Ori is one of the most high compatible people out there. One of my problems is being high compatible. What are some of the problems that high compatibility beings have, Enid?
Well, generally speaking, because they're so compatible with the people around them, they expect everybody else to be so also. This is not always true. So you find somebody trying to patch up relationships around them where it's really not a very possible thing because the other person, A, doesn't want it, and B, they're incompatible. Let me give you an example of that. If you've ever worked with somebody who's a lot slower than you, think about it for a second. How did you feel?
I felt sorry for him.
Okay.
And I tried to help him.
Yeah.
All right.
It made me feel slower.
It made you feel slower. Now, if you're trying to get something done, this is irritating.
Yeah, you just kind of say, I'll just get out of my way, I'll do it myself. Kind of thing.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it's irritating. So, a person who's much slower than you in business. Now, obviously, I mean, the person that's the boss is going to be probably the fastest thinker and the fastest mover around. But we're looking here at if the person is much slower than you, you are going to feel as though that person is deliberately being a nuisance.
A drag.
A drag. And you're going to think it's deliberate. Because you're not that way, so why should they be that way?
Boy, she's so spot on right there.
Yeah, maybe I don't. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's irritating.
Yeah, I mean, you almost think it's deliberate. Like they're just they're laying back, so I'll take care of more. But that's not really what's going on.
Well, it's not necessarily the truth. I mean...
Exactly.
So,
Enid, how many times did you have to tell me that I pay people to feed me?
Rather often, I think.
Yeah. So there ought to be a sequel to your book, Soulmates, How to Find Them, and maybe How to Get Rid of Them?
I'd have bought that book 3 times, Ken.
So what was your... All right, then you came out with In Search of the Golden Nuggets.
Golden Nuggets, yeah. Now, that's a book that is basically a manual to assist a person in finding what I call their golden nuggets, which is basically finding what the thing is that really gives them joy to do.
This is
the workbook.
Oh, yeah, I love this book. I give this book out to Steve. You got a copy of that book, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Robert, I gave you a copy?
Yes, absolutely. And I have one from Edith, and I've also acquired several other copies and handed them out.
Well, I think that you donated about two or three cases of those. Got down on bended knee, say, please let me have some of these so that I can promote my software and your works. And when I come across a person that I believe is capable of absorbing it and utilizing it in work, I've had people call me up and say, Ken, wow. I mean, I've got Enid's scales of productive energy, scales of acceptance, and scales of responsibility, you know, posted up in my on my cubicle. And it's really just lended so much clarity to
it. Yeah, I love making scales.
I know, it's
great. Because they put so much order in your thinking.
So there's a number of executives out there that have the copy of that book.
Good.
In Search of the Golden Nuggets, to find the intrinsic spiritual abilities, the intrinsic magic. So on my website, Search for Calling, what I've done is I've promoted the concept of my software to have the individual dig into some unwanted patterns, do some differentiation processing, and peel the onion to the point where the individual is able to surface some of their intrinsic magic.
Yeah.
It's very phenomenal stuff for people to get that level of acknowledgement. In your my favorite book that you've got, your new book, on my website I say, buy this book, and if you don't like it, Ken Payne will buy it back. That I will, because I tell you, anybody that buys that book and doesn't like it, wow. Because one of the things that just totally blew me away, I go, look, right here, it's got a list of 34 psychic abilities. So I put together a process in this Wheeltail Solutions profiler that towards the very end of the profile, it surfaces those golden nuggets, gets you the top five, and helps the person maintain those top five by knowing what they are, and then placing that person as a recruiter with other executives that have done the same process, and it's phenomenal work that you've got there.
Well, thank you.
Go over your book, The Sovereignty Manual. I mean, wow. It's just, to me, it's the best book on the planet.
That's great. Thanks.
But what's the pinnacle of life if we're here to evolve our soul? Well, I personally believe I'm here to evolve my soul to the state of spiritual sovereignty. So having the sovereignty manual and being able to maintain these levels of empowerment is just, is there anything better?
Well, there's always further to go, you know that? Because if there wasn't, I'd have nothing to do.
Totally understand.
Well,
it's a never-ending journey.
Well, yeah. That's why the key to the sovereignty, you're talking about to maintain, Ken, because you know, a lot of these programs and things that people go to, they're a corporate sponsor. You know, sure, they get you pumped up. You know, I've been to many sales seminars, things like this. You know, they get you pumped up, get you going, what to do, what not to do. And then you go back in the real world, the mud, and they just don't stick. And I think that's what separates the Dynamism Institute from a lot of the others out there, that it does stick.
Yeah, Well, that's the intention. I mean, I don't like Band-Aids. I like to feel that the work I've done is going to have a solid foundation. And it's not based on quicksand. Because it's very easy to give people pumped up, give them ascension-type experiences, and then you always have that crash-and-burn phenomenon that you just talked about.
Exactly.
So I envision I envision companies, CEOs, executives, learning more and embracing the program that Enid and I are putting together. I'll be dealing with it in the workaday world of executive coaching and recruitment, and I want the world to imagine what it would be like to have a mirror effect software that clarifies and targets your number one most important asset of any company, and that's the people. Hey, Robert.
Yeah.
Hey, Robert.
What?
I know that you went over my website. Can you envision what I call a presence org? And that's an organization that embraces the things that we're talking about today. Can you envision that and expound on it?
Yes, envision or enlightened organization is walking through life with their eyes wide open. They don't have scripts. One of the big battles that we're continuously and repeatedly fighting even in our daily lives is that everybody's writing a script for us. Thanks to Enid, I became very aware of that and that who I was writing scripts for. So it allows the freedom of thought, freedom of spirit, freedom of knowledge, but more importantly, the freedom of insight and foresight to actually see what's going on around you and that awareness to it. We're programmed almost all of our lives from birth on out as to how to think, how to act, and what it does is it allows us to go through that and get past it. With your software, when the software is applied, it cuts all the scripts out, it cuts all the game circles out, it cuts through to the bone of what it is that people truly need and what it is that they're looking for. Sometimes they're not even aware of what they're looking for. And that elaborates back into Enid's soulmates, being able to identify and truly understand what it is that you want, what it is that you need, and what is it that you're looking for, and how to describe it and bring it in. From your aspect, you're able to bring that through to a mathematical function that becomes a common language for all races to be able to use. Math is one of the common languages throughout the whole world. So the enlightened facility or organization has a free-thinking thought and flow process. Nobody's offended. Nobody's upset. Secrets are not withheld. Everything is open above board, and everyone knows what else is going on, and it works as a flattened hierarchy. Very harmonious.
Yeah. Steve.
Yeah.
You're one of your prime psychic abilities that I picked up on, and it's so easily seen for the person who's or spotted for the executive recruiter. I mean, they can look into your resume and get into your specific objectives and achievements, and that is your psychic ability of being a visionary.
Right.
And be able to surface that golden nugget and know it's true and then talk to another CEO and say, hey, bring this guy on. Because, you know, the visionary who has the ability to get people's attention and align them to the mission and to be able to surface their intentions and have those intentions manifest towards empowering the mission, that team spirit, you know, that has got to be one of the most important psychic abilities there is on this planet.
Actually, I've learned a lot over the years
and utilizing that talent in my professional life. I've been involved in a lot of turnaround situations, and earlier on, I've achieved a lot of success in those turnarounds by utilizing those visionary, if you will, strategies and so forth to take the performance of an organization from one level to the next. But I found early on that I was pretty much limited to my capabilities and my ability to be visionary, if you will, in providing that course in that direction. In later years, particularly after going through the clearing activities with Enid, what I had found is that that we all have a bit of visionary within all of us, and that our organizations are even more powerful when we can tap into the visionary aspects of what everybody can do. And so when we hired a fellow like Robert and took all the handcuffs off him and put him into the organization and kind of gave him the guidelines of this is kind of the direction we want to go in, but you shape that direction, you create the vision, and you take it from here. It catapulted our performance beyond even beyond my expectations. I mean, it was even more incredible what we were able to accomplish when we could really tap into the resources of all the people who work with me.
Totally understand. I want to clarify the word psych. It's Greek for the word soul, isn't it, Enid?
Yeah.
Yeah, so people understand that we all have a soul. And when you look at the word spirit, it's the vital animating essence of a person or a team or an organization, and it's communicated by the mission statement. And to be able to have a visionary who can constantly keep people's attention above their own individual concerns and align that attention towards that mission. It's just amazing. Team building.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, Steve, you saw it very early on, the potential of having this type of staffing, the taproot and target the specific talent stream of the people like Robert, and the ability to put together a staffing team for transparency, that people could actually look inside of your organization and see the culture indices, the conditions of the organization, where it's at, where it's been, where it's going, all mathematically based on the scaling of attitudes and how these attitudes are basically the lenses upon which your team's life energy flows and creates those employment conditions. And you come across, as a recruiter, individuals aren't even looking. And as a recruiter, you come across and say, hey, I've got this company executive, and he'd be interested in talking to you about your background. You go, oh, no, I'm not looking. Suddenly, they download the search assignment with your voice in it, and they actually see the WheelTel Solutions profile that expresses these culture indices simply and mathematically. Suddenly, they're really charged with, wow, if any company is willing to go to this level of transparency and has actually set up coaching for rapport building, and that, you saw that really early on, Steve. It took some visionary talent. Robert, what would you think about a company that was a presence org?
Do what?
And if we're all in the war on talent, who would win the war on talent if they had that type of technology?
Hands down, whoever has that kind of talent in there, because there's nothing to stop them. They can break into new markets. They can drive their old market. Innovation becomes the very beginning of everything on every meeting. I mean, working with Steve was beyond pleasurable. There's really no words to put to it. We agreed to disagree. We agreed to agree. the rapport was phenomenal, and it was, and you could see it throughout the organization. It just flowed.
Yeah, I would say too. To add to that, the communication was wide open. There were no secrets. Anything that came up, we were free to express and show each other's point of view, so that we had a better level of understanding.
And that's really what it's all about, though, Stephen, and understanding.
And improve communication to levels that are beyond the normal levels of communication. And I'm not talking about lots of communication. I'm just talking about improved quality of communication.
Yeah, and that's where I felt you were going. And you know, I know we talk about the clearing aspect, Enid, but I'll mm-hmm. tell you, your other programs are really splendid. Your communication program is tremendous. Now, Steve, you know, and Robert, you too, from your trials and tribulations through your years of out there in the manufacturing world, you know you've had some people in your underneath you that were technically probably experts in their field. But you knew because of their communication skills and ability that they probably wouldn't progress past where they are. And if they had a program like Enid's communication course, I don't know if you guys took that or part of that while you were out there, but just what that would have done for them and probably enhancing their careers even within your own organization if you'd had the resources to use.
Well, again, me and Steve actually had worked with individuals within our own organization that were that way. More than we would care to mention. But when you drive it back and you start looking at it, is that it, as Steve had hit on, it actually goes a lot deeper than that. There was decisions that Steve was able to make and that I was able to make that we both knew the other would be comfortable with them, and it wouldn't be the upsetting where in any other organization we would always have to go talk to somebody or speak to somebody or get somebody's permission. It became pretty much a day-to-day feeling or concept, and that freely we could talk with one another at any time about anything. And the lack of walls there was just fantastic. But again, people have got to want to change or recognize the fact that they need paid change, or what I like to call they have to admit that they got an ugly baby. I mean, it doesn't do any good when you hold up a picture and everybody goes, "Oh, ain't that cute?" Now that's about the ugliest kid I've ever seen. Got it from his mama, I guess, because daddy doesn't look that bad. And in some situations, or in a lot of situations I see out there in doing turnarounds in companies, people do not want to admit that they've got an ugly baby and that they have an issue and they need to do it. And it can go as from one individual all the way up to a whole organization. And it actually neutralizes them. It makes them absolutely, across the board, neutral to anybody. And the only, that after that, the only positional power that they hold is related to their position or what enforcement they got behind them. Rather than what Steve does and what I do, is it's the common sense approach. We derive our power from our ability and our knowledge. And our ability and knowledge to tag on to the other people's abilities and knowledge and cut through the games and the scripts and get right down to this is what you're really good at, okay, and wash that personality out. Some people are just self-devastating because they don't know any different. And that's what,
exactly.
For us, was the big change.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being the CEO of a company that had a full-time dynamism clearing practitioner on staff who knew how to run the staffing department with Wiltel Solutions for recruiting and retention?
Yeah, it would be a phenomenal organization. The tools, the the ability to align everybody with the vision and the mission and the focus and the freedom that that it allows for everybody within the organization to pursue those objectives and vision and mission are incredible.
What would happen if you securely broadcast out your culture indices of that will-tell solution to your targeted talent stream? You'd almost have to be beating the people off the doorstep because of the transparency of what was going on inside there, that rapport technology.
Yep, I believe it firmly. Absolutely.
I mean, just imagine, Steve, no political agendas.
And
wow.
Like you said, Ken, with people we've talked to recently and that had absolutely no desire whatsoever to move from their existing organization to go to another organization, just to have utilizing those tools and opening up that communication, it opens people's eyes that there is something much better out there for those who seek it.
Robert, what would you do if you were the CEO with a full-time clearing practitioner on staff with the power of Will-Tell Solutions profile for staffing and retention in your organization?
I'd tell Bill Gates to be prepared to step to number two.
What'd you say?
I said I'd tell Bill Gates to be prepared to step to number two. With that kind of an organization, there's absolutely no stopping it. I mean, with an organization that had somebody on there as a full-time staff, I mean, it would be tremendous because you wouldn't, if you think about it, cost-wise, it's just a tremendous cost savings that is hanging out there, free gratis. I've watched several organizations spend anywhere between $80,000 to $120,000 a month in recruiter's fees to turn right around and do the same thing a month later because of the individuals that they got in. This is so tailored to driving the change within the organization and move the organization out of entrenched management systems, but without moving the managers out, take them into being true envisioned leaders. And it's not a book, it's not a seminar, it's not something, that's down and dirty, quick, fast food type of aspect. But you wouldn't have to get rid of people that you currently have in your organization. You'd be able to enlighten them and move them up, and then everybody that you brought in, you'd create a core emphasis system that would not only drive the organization, it would lead the organization, and then it would filter throughout it. The toughest question is what's the next state after that? I mean, it would be pure heaven, and then you have to figure out, well, what's the next state after that? Universal.
Tactically, the company that puts together that purchases that program of a full-time clearing practitioner studying in dynamism, life, energy, clearing, plus the Will-Tell Solutions profiling technology. Once these people start moving up and they start expanding, they get a core team, and they look at their vendor, and they go, looks like these folks, you can start basically doing, leverage buyouts and then implementing the technology into your vendor. It almost look like kind of like a beehive. Imagine the presence work would be like a beehive. We don't need two queens in one beehive, and one would fly out. And I think it's simply a matter of getting the dynamism technology into another company. And it would be very prolific.
When you start digging and you start looking into it, I mean, it's the unknown and the unknowable that is out there that everybody likes to speak about all the time for cost of operating a company and overhead, and as Deming said, that 80% of the money in the company is spent by the front office. When you start digging into it and you start looking at what you're offering in that type of solution and bringing it in, and the associated cost to just, let's flatten it and make it easy, politics within an organization. the amount of money that is lost and the amount of time and work and effort that is lost or wasted in just the politics side. And if you drive it even farther and you do it from a dynamism standpoint, you get things like appraisals are no longer necessary. They're no longer needed. And if you must absolutely do appraisals, then you do them in a reverse direction. Do them from bottom up. Start reviewing how is the upper management communicating to the people on the floor what the goals are, what the objectives are. Are we all working in the same direction rather than the standard hierarchical approach that you have out there now that costs companies quarters of millions of dollars, if not more, and to give somebody a piece of paper that ultimately pits one individual against another individual, and you're writing a script for them again. And you're throwing them right back into the doldrums and the mud. Where if you've got this kind of organization that is eyes are opened, enlightened, communicating well, you don't need an appraisal. You don't need an appraisal process because you know instantly.
See, the way I set up this WillTel Solutions profile is that it is not psychology. It doesn't typecast. What it basically does is take a snapshot of the five prime culture indicators, and it's no different than working in, you pull up your email and each individual says, okay, this is the metric I felt this week. That metric is broadcast out to everyone through the department. You could, there wouldn't be anywhere to hide in there, because from an OD, organizational development standpoint, informatically, you'll be able to say, okay, this department is purple, good high stats over here, this is how they feel, this is how they feel. And what about this department down here? You'd be able to pull up your laptop in that week and say, there's a problem down there. And then the human resources professional would be able to get up with the clearing practitioner, go over the WillTel Solutions profile and say, okay, I see some patterns. And then instead of doing the political stuff, the clearing practitioner gets involved, and who knows, it might not have anything to do with work. It might be some of the same things that Steve and, you know, Steve faced, but maybe it's a problem at home. And instead of pushing the person into drug therapies and all these other things, clearing practitioner gets the person, drives them into, how did you say that, Enid? Drive them into their own truth? Or guide them?
Guide them.
Yeah, guide them.
I don't do any driving.
I didn't think that word was right, but you get my point.
I do.
The informatics of the metrics allows for a level of transparency within the organization, releasing those decayed life energy barriers, the person flowing stronger, more attention, more alignment, more team building.
Mm-hmm.
When you start thinking about that and how simple that is, it boggles the mind. We're in the information age. And Enid and I, and I'm sure Steve and Jay and Robert agree, the information age is going somewhere. Enid, where do you believe it's going?
Well, the only thing I can really say about that is I know it's going, and one either gets with the program and develops information that is actually useful, or you end up with a glut of information that's not useful to you. So,
right.
So it's just like the internet. When your inbox is glutted with junk mail, you can't see the wood for the trees. So this is the whole point about the information age, is you either learn how to use it or it's going to use you.
I really understand that, particularly from a clearing practitioner viewpoint. It almost relates to the concept of clearing.
Yeah.
You're carrying around all this useless baggage, and it's in the way. To clear that away, you become more present with more attention to the individual presence and the team presence and the team spirit, what I say is that the information age is going to lead us into the empowerment era.
Well, it will if we're wise. It could also lead us into a morass of clogged communication. In other words, it's very difficult to sort out what's important when you have so much data. And then the trick is to sort it in such a way that you can then actually use it.
Correct. You have on the phone here two champions of lean manufacturing. Steve Ashley is a MC for... Steve, go into your background. You're an MC for...
Actually, I've been the MC for the last year and this year for the Honda Lean Network. But prior to that, in a prior life, I was a champion of lean manufacturing for an organization I was working for.
What I was wanting to bring that to your attention is because if you look at what the, I believe it's five things of lean, there's a sequence here, and it also correlates over to my point.
Yeah.
They can look at an economy, and what is an economy composed of? It consists of manpower is the root, then the material, then the machinery, and then the money, and the back what I believe they say in lean. You have to do root cause, but it has to be visual communication systems.
Yeah, visual management, yeah.
Yeah, visual, okay. So looking at what Enid was saying, if we put our attention and our energy and our focus on what's the most important thing and then get rid of the stuff, the garbage, all the paper and this, that, and the other, and you know all the reviews like Robert indicated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, when an organization starts taking in its own laundry, so to speak, that organization doesn't have a whole lot of life.
Yeah. So provide clarity and visual management in being able to informatically reflect what's going on inside of an organization.
Uh-huh.
And focusing on the root of all economies, and that's an error-proofing or a fool-proofing technology.
Well, if you're having to do a lot of fool-proofing, you shouldn't be employing fools.
they are definitely employing fools because, unfortunately, as both of these gentlemen can attest, some of the fools are employing fools.
Mm.
Because they don't have the technology that you have and that I have. Robert, what about the cult?
Yes,
what about the cult of HR? Is it not one of the most powerful psychological cults there is as it pertains to creating the group think that they're supposed to be getting rid of?
Exactly. You got group think that's out there, and they repeatedly and continuously reinforced it by hiring more of them. One of the big conversations in the automotive industry all the time is that we use Pokey OK, which is air proofing on a machine. And what do? We go out and we find somebody and we hire them, we bring them in there, who will ultimately figure out a way around it. Why? That's because of the script writing again and the programming that we've got out there. And we have to break that circle. It's a self-destructive spiral, and in today's economy and the Internet, and with all the information that Enid's saying that is out there in the Internet, people can become enlightened quickly, or what they think is enlightened, but without the, or with the absence of truth. And that's the big push in the gist of it all, is that in the industry, what is the truth, what is the focus? What is the direction that you want to go and how to drive that direction as a group and do it in the fastest possible means for the lowest possible cost. That makes you competitive. But instead of doing it to be competitive and beat somebody else, why not just do it because it's right? Because we know it's right and we know it's best for ourselves. I like to tell people, I'm not worried about the employee. I'm worried about their family that they're feeding. I'm worried about Billy. I'm worried about little Jill. I'm worried about his wife, Nancy. Are they going to be able to put their kids through school? Are they going to be able to have a good life? When you take it to that aspect, you take it to that next level, and you start looking at it, it's amazing how the eyes open. And they begin to grasp that reality of, gee, you know, why am I here? What am I doing? And is it fun to be here?
Totally understand what you're saying then, Steve.
Yeah.
You worked at a place where the company's culture was predominantly cultivated by human resources and finance people. You recall that?
Yes, of course.
Some of the difficulties was, you know, hey, I need to get rid of this knucklehead. He's really ruining the entire soup. But you were kind of scared about going to HR. Why?
Well, actually, HR pretty much dominated the organization, and they had their own preconceived notions of who they thought were the ideal people within the organization, and so they made it difficult to do what you knew that you needed to do. They put up the roadblocks, if you will, that prevented you from doing the right thing.
It's almost like you're scared to go to HR and because maybe they're going to look at you and say, well, no, you're the problem.
Right.
Seems to be a lot of that. Human resources is supposed to be the human factor, but it seems like it's cultivating this groupthink psychological warfare. A lot of people I know are scared of HR. I guess it's because on one side they had to, on the fence they had to protect and provide and protect management concerns, but on the other side of the face, it's like I'm here to support and nurture the people. It's almost a duplicitous type of game, and people kind of see right through that. And when I say group think, I'm talking about the things that you see in normal organizations, people going around with a herding instinct, scared to really surface things and blow the whistle of obviously unethical conduct, going around doing things that they would never do if they owned the business themselves. And I believe that Wheeltail Solutions and a couple of good two or three clearing practitioners within an organization is basically going to clear that mess up. Because I personally believe when we start talking about the human capital, and it's the manpower, and it's the root of all economies, and groupthink is probably, you know, all this politics, whatever you want to call it, it's these murky conditions, these murky cultures, where people are not having fun. How many trillions of dollars in a flattenly global economy do you think is being wasted? I don't know what the economy of France is and the United States and Argentina. And trillions is probably not even close. I mean, $1 trillion is not even close to what's really being wasted on groupthink. What are your thoughts on that, Enid?
Well, I think a lot of time, money, and effort is wasted on groupthink because organizations, if you don't create the culture, they are going to create it for you. And it is not a good idea to leave the creation of what the culture is that you want in your organization, whatever it is. You can't leave it to the person who cannot see the whole big picture because they'll just create something you don't want. And then, of course, the tendency is to think that it's deliberate. Which it usually isn't. Usually the person's doing their damnedest. And one has to bear that in mind.
Well, yeah, the president usually is doing his damnedest to clean it up. But he's counting on somebody behind him one of the visionary's problems is that he believes truly that when he comes out of that meeting that people do have their attention and alignment on the mission and the vision. But the meeting's over and they go right back into the group think patterns because there's no clearing practitioners there. There's no transparency software there.
Well, I know this is a definite need. And it's very interesting that, you know, that we're talking about it because what I see here is that every organization has a culture. If you do not develop the culture yourself and cannot get others to contribute to that, you're going to get the same kind of culture that you have in families, because that's what everybody understands. And that doesn't work in organizations.
Well, the topic of today's show is dynamism clearing and Will Tell Solutions and bringing a couple of high-powered executives into the fold who've actually had the experience of both technologies, seeing the synthesis of both technologies with their testimonies, what it's done for them personally. They have found their callings, their intrinsic magic, their psychic abilities, soul abilities. They're constantly working together, maintaining those abilities, making sure that the group think doesn't mask it. They're kindred spirits in business. The goal of the day's program is to bring together a collective intention of all the listeners to understand that you can call Ken Payne at 877-222-1492. Go to my website. You can contact us there. We are personeers. We're an outreach for executives who have the duty and want to take more full responsibility and grow healthy organizations. Have any ideas on that, Steve?
Actually, I think you summarized it pretty well. The tools that I now have in my at my fingertips, the ability to be able to build a cohesive organization that can move mountains is evident with the tools at hand. The current employer that I'm working for now, about a year ago, I was pulled into an office, and the president of the current company asked. Yet they said, this plant's been here for 19 years and it's never performed anywhere near the level that it's performing now. What do you attribute it to? And I said, it's pretty simple. I had nothing to do with it. It was a great group of people we brought together here to make this work, make this happen. And Robert's one of those people that were part of that group. And Robert has seen successes in his own right, where he's been promoted up into a corporate role and has moved beyond the organization. But when you really get down to it, these tools are very powerful tools that help you build very strong, cohesive operating units that can really take organizations to a level beyond where they were before.
That's great.
Well, what I'd like to do is I'm going to read to the listening audience a couple of paragraphs of my calling here. My personal calling is to bring together kindred spirits in business through the help of Enid Vian's phenomenally fantastic. It's just fantastic. It's magic. I don't know how to explain it. I've seen a lot of very powerful good deeds, very good deeds. Thousands of people have experienced Enid's clearing technologies is fantastic. I'm very excited. Let me go ahead and read this. We can get out of our own way if we know where we're at. Let's cast off and sell to the new world by discovering the beauty of diversity. The 21st century beckons transparency. So imagine working at a place where groupthink is alleviated. Ken calls the CEOs and their employees and executives that embrace the transparency of dynamism and WillTell Solutions presence organizations. How many people do you know who want to work at a presence organization? This is not a reform system. We're past the level of trying to enforce morals. This is an ethical imperative mission for group empowerment, a calling for spiritual transmutation that will cross over the information age to the empowerment era. I ask each listener if they will email Bill Gates, the number one philanthropist in the history of mankind, to do research on WillTell Solutions software. If after the session each viewer or listener likes the idea, they're encouraged to email Bill Gates at billgates@chairman.microsoft.com so that he can help enterprise and manifest my idea of group determinism. I also support literacy and pledge that 10% of the sale price of WillTell Solutions will be donated to the Pupil Incorporated, a nonprofit adult literacy foundation, and 10% to the Dynamism Institute, a nonprofit foundation, to support the training of more dynamism clearing practitioners like Enid. My goal is to help the spirit of liberty win. The same spirit America's founding fathers pioneered to help end the human caste system. So, in consort with the Pupil Incorporated and the Dynamism Institute, Personeers, that's what I and Jay are, and others, we serve with a heartfelt intention to liberate each person's core contribution, their life energy, to the betterment of mankind. Our purpose to incorporate consciousness into business at the very root of all economies, manpower, will help empower everyone we touch to reach interdependent spiritual sovereignty. This egalitarian form of meritocracy will create harmony within hierarchy. I believe world peace will be ushered into the 21st century because celebrating our spiritual nature and uniqueness will become mainstream. If you're interested in that, you can go to www.searchforcalling.com and dynamism, www.dynamism.org, to do more research. If anyone is interested, you can call me personally. My name is Ken Payne. My toll-free number is 877-222-1492. I'm searching for people who are wanting to empower organizations. One of the best things I've ever done in my life is meet Enid Vian. Thank you, Enid, for all the things you do. You just thank you. See, one of the funnest things I've ever done in my life is connecting you with Robert Troop. I can only imagine how much fun you guys have. I hear on occasion it ripples back over here. You guys are really lighting up your organization. Oh, you've already got a promotion. Robert, you got a promotion, and you're the guy that goes around and you're like a teacher.
pretty much here lately. I've got people who are supposedly experts in their field asking me to hold training for them right now, based off of what we were able to do in Jonesville. So that's quite a compliment to Steve. Like Steve said, everybody's asking us how it was we did what we did, and then when we tell them, they just kind of look at us like, what do you mean you didn't really do anything? It's amazing how simple and easy it becomes. You know, and for those that are listening out here, they need to understand that this isn't like a new fad or something that, you know, is like, oh, gee, we're going to do the Toyota production system. We're going to take classes. It's nothing like that. It's beyond that. It's realism into oneself and into the universe. It's not for the faint of heart. And if it's, if somebody's looking for something that, you know, gee, I can go to the website and learn this, forget it. They won't. They can't. They really need to sit down and talk with individuals like yourself and like Enid. And that in itself will enlighten them as to what's really going on. So, I mean, I absolutely encourage that if they don't do anything else, that they do get on the phone and they do send me emails. And they do their research, and they sit down and talk with both of you. I mean, I can't thank Ethan enough. I can't thank Steve enough. I can't thank you enough. I can't thank Jay enough. This has been, it's been a wonderful, wonderful thing that has happened to me. And been using it now for years, and it, and I use it every day, every situation. My marriage is better, my family's better, everything's better. I hate my truck, but everything else other than that is good.
If I had that truck, too, I'd hate it.
I just did a major autopsy on it.
It's an old joke between me and Robert about his truck.
Yeah. I want to go over the books that Enid has. We've got about three or four more minutes. These books are available at www.dynamism.org. They're also available on www.searchforcalling.com, the bookstore. They are The Healing Spirit, Scars on the Soul, Mood Swings, Soulmates, How to Find Them and How to Keep Them, In Search of the Golden Nuggets, and her new book, The Sovereignty Manual. You also have a lot of CDs. You also provide workshops.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to come in on, Ken, that one thing I haven't heard mentioned was Enid's study guide course.
Yeah.
Tremendous for people who have, like, they put up mental constructs or blocks in their learning abilities. I found out one myself during back when my parents got a divorce, created actual learning disability. When I would read, I'd get tired, and so I could probably only read for about an hour at a time. Until I took her study course and through some clearing with that, we found the block and were able to remove that. So now I don't have that condition anymore. So that's another aspect of the program that Enid's got that I didn't hear come out in the earlier discussions.
Awesome.
Yeah, it didn't.
Yeah, that. Go ahead, Enid.
No, he's just quite right. But you go ahead. We're being so polite.
Nobody wants to steal your thunder on your show.
What I'd like to do now is basically tell you about our next show Sunday. My intention is to actually provide a listening audience with a actual live one-on-one session of Will Tell Solutions. This is where I'm asking the executive to come on the show, and we will actually provide a free session of Will Tell Solutions so that the listening audience gets a better idea of the practical applications as it specifically relates to sizing up their current condition of work, being able to see certain patterns, and if any of those patterns are unwanted, yet thoroughly reviewed, they can vanish. I can at least tell you that they will surface, but as far as the pragmatic application of dynamism clearing, that's Enid's specialty. I can loosen them up and get you to look at them, but Enid's a master of actually having you confront, face them, trace them, erase them. Enid, we've got about 2 minutes left. If there's anything else you'd like to say.
Oh, I just want to say thank you all for being on the show and for your support of Ken and I and our big ideas. And let's hope that we've inspired a few people, because inspiration is what it's all about.
I just hope Kwame Kilpatrick was listening.
Who?
Kwame Kilpatrick.
Who's that?
He's the mayor of Detroit that's in trouble right now.
Oh.
Okay. Well, God bless him. I hope he is too, because if he is, he can give me a call and be more than happy to help in any way we possibly can.
All right.
It's always great to talk to you, Enid.
Oh, you too. I've missed you both.
Yeah, see here.
Okay.
Yeah, and we've missed you, Enid.
All right.
Nothing but love for everybody. Nothing but love.
Okay.
Thanks for coming on, guys.
Yeah.
Jay, thank you for coming on. I appreciate that.
I was cleaning the house.
Right
before I came over. I was doing floors, and I don't like floors.
Okay.
Well, very good, Enid. I think that's the end of the show. Robert, I appreciate you coming on the show. It was, every time I hear your voice, it just makes me smile.
You're welcome as always. You're welcome as always.
Steve, hats off to you. You are definitely one cool dude. You rock, man. You really rock.